I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to start in verse 11. This is the parable of the prodigal son. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. If I could title this message this morning, it would be, Living in a Pig Pen When You Belong in a Palace. God wants his people to live in a palace, but they are so distracted by the pig pen so many times. The crowd that was there that day that Jesus was talking to was a mixture of tax collectors and Pharisees and sinners. The Pharisees was the religious leaders of the time and the teachers of the law. And they viewed the tax collectors as unclean. Jesus had just previously told the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And all three parables that he told described the joy of a lost sinner that was found. But this parable was a little bit different because in this parable and the other parables, they went to look for the coin. They went to look for the sheep. But this father allowed his son to go astray and go on his own way. And he didn't follow him because he had his own free will. He had a choice, Pastor, of what he wanted to do. And our Heavenly Father gives us all individuals a free will. The Father eagerly awaits for his son to return. I can just see this father standing there looking out over the landscape every day for his son to come home. And, you know, I wonder how many people in the church this morning and listening on the radio today have prayed and prayed for their lost children. And they can feel what that father felt. Lord, when are they coming home? I've spent so many hours, so many days, so many years praying for my child. When are they coming home? When are they coming home? And sometimes the situation seems so hopeless. When you're praying, and even if you don't watch, you have to watch the way you pray. And the Lord taught me this. When Christian was a teenager, I remember one time I was in my study and I was praying for him, and I thought, and the words that were coming out of my mouth were like, Lord, what am I going to do with this child? Lord, I have tried my best, and I see that he's going down the wrong direction, and I'm desperate, God. I don't know what to do. God, will you move on his heart? Will you move on his mind? Will you bring to his remembrance the things that I poured into that child since the day he was born? And the Lord just stopped me, and he said, that is not who he is. All those things that you are telling me that Christian is doing right now, that's not who he is. That's not who he is. He taught me I had to change the way I was praying for my son. You're praying for your children today, some of you. Some of you's praying for your grandchildren, or maybe it's a spouse. And sometimes it looks so hopeless. You keep looking out over the horizon, but you don't see them coming home. And that's where faith comes in. That's where faith comes in, that even when you don't see, and even when you don't feel, that you know God's still working. Just like when Raymond gave his testimony this morning, he might not have felt any differently, but God was working in his body, and he was healed. What is a prodigal? A prodigal is significant of someone who is wasteful, extravagant, selfish. It is someone determined to have their own way. They disregard Father's love and desire for their life. A prodigal abuses grace, the Father's unmerited favor. I believe that we've all been a prodigal at some point. I remember when I was about 18 years old, I left my father's house. I lived by myself, and I went away from the teachings of my mom and my dad. For about a year, I went away from the teachings, but I never forgot them. And I remember one time I got drunk. I mean, I was drunk. And the next morning I had to go to work, and I couldn't hardly feel my legs. And I remember all that night I had dreamed that my mom and my dad were standing over top of me, shaking their heads, saying, I'm so ashamed of you. I'm so ashamed of you. God never let me forget what my parents had told me. I went back to Father's house, and he took me in, and I've never been the same since. But my dad wept and prayed and stood on God's word till he could see me coming back in the horizon. I thank God for godly parents today that will not give up on their children. And if you're sitting out there today, or you're listening today and you're about to give up, you're saying, my daughter's hung out on drugs. My son's on drugs. He's, you know, they're destroying their life to the point where I don't know how much longer they're going to make it. Don't stop praying. Pastor plays that song, keep praying, keep praying. We need to do more praying for our children. I know I do. I need to do more. I've abused Father's favor and his grace. Even after I gave my heart to the Lord. Even after, in the last year or two, there's been times I wanted my own way. And I did things my way. And I've had to come back to Father and repent. I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy, but I never want to abuse it. I never want to abuse it. I know people that say, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I can never go back. God will never, He'll always accept me no matter what. If I sin, He still accepts me because I come back. You know, I believe that when we give our heart to the Lord, we'll want to live for God. We'll want to live for God. We don't abuse His grace. We don't abuse His grace. And if there's not Holy Ghost conviction, there's something wrong. There's something terribly wrong. The younger son wanted his share of the father's estate right now. Now, in that day, you did not get your inheritance before your father's death. It would dishonor your father to ask such a thing. He was entitled as the youngest child to a third, which the oldest child would have been entitled to the double portion. But he had no respect for his father. He was unwilling to wait until his father's death. He wanted his part right now. His request was more or less telling his father, I wish you were dead. Greed. The son was expected to use his father's inheritance to provide for further generations. But this son only thought of himself. How many times have we impatiently expected God to do what we wanted immediately? And so many times we selfishly want our own desires over the Father's wisdom for our life. Not stopping to consider that our choices is going to affect future generations. If I give in to that temptation and I have that affair, I'm only thinking about myself. If I today would be tempted to have an affair on my husband and I would give in to that, my son sitting right back there is going to be affected by that, even though he's almost 30 years old. Because he's going to look at me and he's going to say, everything she taught me, she didn't live it. Why should I believe it? Why should I pay attention when it was all a lie? Our decisions don't just affect us. They never do. They never just affect us. If you accept that bribe from someone, if you compromise that truth, which is happening a lot today, even within the churches, if you compromise the truth to make people happy, you are affecting future generations. You're affecting our nation. Look what's happening today. Because they're compromising the truth. Sometimes I've let distractions pull me farther away from the presence of my Heavenly Father. I think I might have told this before. I don't know if I did or not. I told it on Facebook. God put it on my heart. But one day I went for a walk on the farm. And I ended up where I often end up, over where we plant soybeans along by the river. I was walking that gravel road, and normally I have my earphones in and my worship music on, and I talk to God while I'm listening to music. But that day, I was just distracted. I wanted peace. So I turned all the music off, and I didn't pay attention to any cell phone. I just walked. I couldn't even really put it in. I was praying, but more in my mind. It wasn't really coming out of my mouth. I was like Hannah. I had things on my heart. If you know the story of Hannah, she went to pray for a son, but in her sorrow, she was so grieved that you could see her lips moving. The priest could see the lips moving, but he could hear no words. She was praying from her heart. That's how I felt that day. And I walked and came to this old ditch line that goes through the field, and it has like a culprit there. I just kind of sat there. I picked the weirdest places just to sit down and talk to Jesus, but I just sat there. And I looked up at the sky, and the sky was so blue, so beautifully, like clear blue, and the clouds were so white and so puffy. And I just looked up, and it brought back memories of when I was a child, and we would lay in the grass, and we'd look up at the sky, and you know, imagine things in the clouds, and I would lay there as a little girl, because my daddy, he just really preached to us children so much about God and the coming, second coming of Christ, and so I would lay there and look at the big clouds and think, is he coming today? And then I would sit there and think of all the wonders of God and how magnificent he was. And, oh, I wish I could see him. I wish I could touch him. And so when I was looking up at the sky that day, I began to think about when I was a child, and I would lay there and envision those things. And the glory of God just flooded my face. It was just like this light just shined down upon me. You could just feel his presence. And I said, Lord, it's been so long since I was just quiet. It's been so long since I just looked up at the sky like this and thought of you like this, without praying for a need or just worshiping you or anything, just being quiet in your presence. I said, I miss that. I've missed that. We get so distracted by this life at times. We settle for things in the pig pen when there's a palace. There's a palace. The son, he squandered his savings that his father had given him. He wasted his inheritance. He chose not to put any money back for emergencies. He'd not been a good steward of what his father had given him. And a famine hit, and the son was caught off guard. How many times, even in our Christian life, in our Christian walk with the Lord, have we become so distracted and eased up on reading the word and on our prayer life, and then the famine hits? Satan loves to see you off guard. Well, the famine hit the prodigal son, and he ended up in a pig pen. He could have returned to the father's house when things got bad. Maybe he was too proud. Maybe he didn't want to admit that he couldn't make it on his own. He also thought that he was no longer welcome, probably, in the father's house. I mean, after all, that was a disgrace to his family, what he did. He was no longer worthy to be called his father's son. He had no money left. He ended up feeding the pigs, and to feed pigs was a disgrace. Imagine the Pharisees in the crowd that day. Jews wouldn't even touch a pig. It was disgraceful. They wouldn't eat one. And then Jesus is telling the story of the prodigal son and the Pharisees, the keepers of the laws, listening. What a disgrace. They would have given the prodigal son no hope. No hope. No chance for restoration. I once heard a saying that the same devil that tempts you is the same devil that stands ready to accuse you when you fall for that temptation. That is so true. I've never forgotten that because it's so true. The same devil that tempts you to have that affair is the same devil who will be there to accuse you of having an affair, and to, when God tries to restore you and you become restored, will try to condemn you the rest of your life for it. Same devil. The pig pen felt pretty hopeless. The youngest son was in a desperate situation, and he felt that he had gone too far. The prodigal son, the Bible said, would have gladly eaten the husk that fed the swine. The husk that they're talking about here is not corn husk, not the husk of corn. But husk in the Greek means the pod of a carob tree. And it feels like wood, but you can open it up and chew it, and it tastes like chocolate with a sweet flavor. Today, the pulp from the pods are dried and roasted and then ground into powder, and they even make chocolate chips with those. The lower class actually ate it as well as fed it to the swine. But the younger son could not even afford to eat the food that they gave the swine. The younger son was starving to death because he had left father's house for something that left him hungry. I think how many people have quit going to church? How many people have wandered further away from their relationship with God, especially since, you know, COVID hit and people just stopped going for a while because of the disease, but then they just quit and started getting into more of the things of the world. And the world has a lot of different distractions that will offer us something for a while, but it's not satisfying. If the world could satisfy us, then why does so many well-known famous people, movie stars, and people kill themselves when they have all the money in the world to do anything they want to do? We so often give up something so priceless, is so precious, is so amazing as the love of God for the love of this world. We've traded the palace for a pig pen. Our life starts to hurl downhill when we get our eyes off the palace. It happens so slowly that we don't even see how far we've drifted. We start watching TV shows with a lot of cursing, a lot of vulgarity. And we just shove it aside as, well, you know, it's in everything nowadays. And just keep a little bit of porn, little bit of sex. God won't notice. He doesn't care. The wayward son becomes so low in that pig pen where nothing he did, all the money that he had, all the fun that he had, it couldn't satisfy him. He became so low, felt so low in that pig pen, he decided, I've got to go back to Father's house. Because Even in the state that I'm in, his servants eat better and are living better than I am in this pig pen. I'm not worthy to be called his son. But if I could just go back and be a servant. The father looks out over the horizon and he sees that lost son come home. And he welcomes him with open arms. The son expects, probably, I would say the son expects the father to not even want him home, not even welcome him home, not to even want to see him after he disgraced the family, especially in that day of time. But here's the father with his arms outstretched, with a smile on his face, my son. My son has come home. He gave him the best robe. When the son knows that he probably deserved rags, the father gave him the best robe. I remember one time, after God called me to minister, I had said something to Christian. What is it about your kids? They just know how to get that one nerve, They just know how to get you where they can get you upset before anybody else. They just know what to say. They just know how to push that nerve. He had pushed it. And I had said something horrible to him. And I felt so bad. I went into my bedroom and I called it my altar, but I have a fireplace in my bedroom and it has like a mantle thing there. And that's where I used to go and pray a lot. And I just got down on my knees there and I said, God, I am not worthy to preach your word. If I cannot live it at home, I will not get behind the pulpit. I don't want to be a hypocrite. If there's anything, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I was just pouring the tears and just pouring, crying my heart out to the Lord. And I'll never forget, the Lord said to me, David sinned. But he was a man after my own heart. So many times, even in the last year or two, I've said, God, I don't know why you put up with me. And I don't know why you would have me minister. I feel so unworthy. But Father's there. And he's always ready to welcome me. But let us not forget the message of repentance in this story. Because when the son came, he was repentant. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. See, we live in a world nowadays where God is love, and he is love. But God requires repentance because he's holy. He's a holy God. And when we sin against him, we must repent. I was talking to a friend of mine, and when I listen to him talk, it's like I can do anything I want and go to heaven because I ask forgiveness. And if I fall into adultery, or if I fall into this, or if I fall into that, then I'm still saved by his grace and you know, nothing to worry about. And I'm like, I don't understand that. Because when I fall, I grieve. The Holy Spirit in me grieves when I sin against the Father. And I asked him, I said, how is heaven any different than this life here now if God accepts all that sin into his kingdom? He's a holy God and he will not. He will not. And if you'd read your Bible, you would know that. Because it tells in it the sins that he will not allow into the kingdom of God. So let's not. Yes, this is a story of love. This is a story of forgiveness. This is a story of redemption. But it also is a story of repentance. Just saying, I'm sorry, that's not repentance. Repentance is when you grieve over your sin and you turn your eyes back to the Father and turn away from that sin completely and leave that sin behind you. Once you repent, you no longer have to live in condemnation because who Christ sets free is free indeed. He'll put your sin as far as the east is from the west. He won't remember it anymore. The reasons people end up in a pig pen is because they become greedy. Baby pigs become greedy when competing for their mother's food. This is the reason the words pig or hog have become associated with greed. People have a tendency to want their own way. They hoard God's money for their own desires. They use God's time for their own relaxation and enjoyment. And they choose to ignore God's direction for their life. Yesterday, God really impressed upon my heart to write a post on Facebook. And I wrote it all out, and it was long. If you all read my stuff on Facebook, it's usually long. Christian said I'm the only person he knows that writes a book. But usually when I'm writing something to do with God or his word, it's the Holy Spirit, and it just flows. And I had written it all out. I was sitting on the tractor, and I was getting uncomfortable because I kind of pulled my back. And somehow it got deleted. I said, that's it. I'm not writing this again. There's just no way. I got ready to get off the tractor, and the Holy Spirit said, you have to. You have to write it again. It's for someone. You have to. So I sat back down, and I wrote the whole thing again. But sometimes we just want our way. And we don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful for the times that I listen. And I try to always listen. But I know I've missed it at times. And I went back and I looked on my Facebook. And it has so many responses to that post. And I get messages from people. And I think, and I thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, for the times I listen, but we don't listen sometimes. We ignore God's direction for our life. Hogs eat just about anything. They'll eat food that would be otherwise garbage. And because of this, we get the word hogwash, meaning something that's worthless. Too many Christians are wasting their time and energy on things that one day will deteriorate and amount to nothing. Souls are dying and going to hell every day because nobody will tell them of Christ. Churches are spending money on all kind of programs to entertain, and all the while they're forgetting their first love. Read Revelation. Read what Revelation says about the churches. Christians have lost their desire for spiritual things and have let the world's opinion affect what they know is right and wrong. Sin is no longer preached and hell is never mentioned. And the more we compromise, the more the palace fades from our view. Further away we get from Father's house, Sometimes Christians end up in a pig pen because they put all their faith in spiritual leaders instead of God. And when those leaders fall, they fall because their eyes are fixed on the wrong person. Discouragement comes in, and some end up in the pig pen because they fail to stay strong in times of trouble. They don't take time to work on their marriage, which between a husband and a wife, if you don't talk to one another, you don't work on that marriage, then your marriage will fall apart. We're married. We're the bride of Christ. If we don't take time to spend with God and to see His heart for our life, then we just fade further from the palace. Satan wants us to end up in that pig pen, and that's why he distracts us. He's constantly distracting you with ball games, with TV, with cell phones, with anything he can. But God wants us to live in a palace. There's plenty for God's children there. David said that I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging for bread. God wants you to put His trust in you, and His trust in Him. He knows what's best. We want our family members to come home. But you know the thing about it is, we pray for our family members to come home, but the thing about it is, so much of the time, God has trouble getting our attention. Our attention. How can we pray for others when God can't even get our attention? Makes me want to search my heart. Say, Lord, how can I pray for my lost loved ones if I'm so distracted that you can't even talk to me anymore? That's why I have to get outside and talk to God. I have to go out in nature. I have to get out and I have to walk because I can't have anyone near me. When Christian or Woody's there, I can hear him talking. The TV's going. I want to be alone with God. I want to hear what He has to say to me. That's important to me. It's important to me to hear from my Father. I was sitting at the house the other day and I thought, I miss my daddy. He was my spiritual teacher. He was my mentor. And he was strict and he was hard. And I couldn't talk to him like a lot of people talk to their dads. He had an air about him that was hard to talk to. But when it came to spiritual things, my dad was my teacher. And I looked out over the farm the other day. I was sitting in the house and I thought, I wish my dad was here. Because I have so many things I'd like to talk to him about spiritually. I wish I had listened to my daddy more when he was here. But I have a heavenly Father. And He wants to teach me. And He wants to teach you. And He gives us the Holy Spirit to do that. But if we're so busy, sometimes we can't hear Him. The Holy Spirit will warn us at times when we override it because we get so busy, we ignore Him, we push it aside, we don't listen. But He's still talking to us today. It's usually on those quiet walks that God gives me those posts for Facebook because I'm listening. How many times, Pastor, have I walked by someone in Walmart and God wanted me to minister to them and I didn't listen because I was too busy worrying about the groceries I needed to get? How many times have we missed it? When was the last time that we felt a burden for lost souls? I mean, really felt a burden for lost souls. It's a hard thing when we allow the Holy Spirit to really check our true motives. The Pharisees in the crowd that day, they were the big teachers of the law. They wanted people to look up to them. They wanted to feel they had the answers. But yet the very Son of God was there teaching them a lesson. And they did not have ears to hear. My desire today is, Holy Spirit, give me ears to hear. Give me ears to hear when you speak to me. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we have lost loved ones out there that's away from Father's house. And Lord, it's our desire, God, that this generation not be lost. Lord, it's our desire, God, that there be godly people in positions over our children at school. It's our desire, God, to see our children come home. But Lord, I ask that you begin with us, that you'll open our ears to hear your voice, so when you're speaking to us, God, that we can hear you. That you'll deal with our own hearts, God. That, Lord, if there be anything in our life, God, that's distracting us, that's bringing us further from the palace, God, that we'll lay it down at your feet, God, and never pick it up again. Lord, give me the right words to speak when I meet someone who doesn't have a relationship with you, or the relationship has grown cold, or they've walked away. God, I don't want it to be my words that speak. Too much of the time, God, it's what I think or what I... But Lord, I don't want that. I want your words. I want what you want, Father. Lord, I ask you, God, to go into this world of our lost loved ones, of our lost children, and apprehend their hearts. And God, I ask you, Lord, to apprehend mine. When I fail you, Lord, when I fail you, speak to me and let me have the ears to hear. Lord, I can't do anything on my own. I can't minister. I don't know how. I don't know what words to say, God, because I can't see into the people's hearts. But you can. You can, Lord. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch every heart under the sound of my voice, God, that they'll feel the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, for those that are struggling today and those that are ready to give up on their walk with you, I ask you to be strong in them. I ask that the Holy Spirit power of God just get a hold of them, Lord, right now, Father, that you'll stir in their spirit, that you'll strengthen their spirit, that they will stand strong and bold in you, because greater is he that's in them than he that's in the world. And God, let them become strong and quickened by your Holy Spirit right now, Lord, right now. Let them feel the power of God all over them. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you, God, for everything that you've done in my life. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that has washed away all my transgressions. And I thank you for that blood, that when I fail, I can come back to Father's house and repent. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.